Join me in John chapter 20, if you would. John chapter 20, as we go there in the Word of God. I want to share something with you that the Lord gave to me this week. And I hope it encourages you. I don't know how you can be blood washed and redeemed. I don't know how you can be acquainted with the blood of Jesus Christ and come to this time of the year and not have your heart touched. Come to a service like this. I don't care if it's early in the morning, if it's brisk outside, if it's different than the normal schedule we have. He loved me. Amen. Forgave me. My life has changed. Listen to me now. If your life hasn't changed, you need to go back and find out what you got. Because when Jesus saves you, your life changes. John chapter number 20. I feel like we can go down just a little bit on this microphone. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene when it was yet dark. How many left the house this morning when it was yet dark? Well, then you're getting in a little bit on what it was like on that first Easter morning. Unto the sepulcher and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. By the way, that was John, the writer of this gospel here, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. They ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Wasn't that humble of John just to say the other disciple? If I'd been writing, I said, I outran Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down, notice the next three words, and what? Looking in. Let's look in this morning. Saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, that's John going in, which came first to the sepulchre. And he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Let the church say amen. Father, I pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross. Do a work like only you can. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard. That's why God sent his only son, because of us. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Thank you so much for the cross. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. Oh, God, help us to lift you up. Bind the devil, put a hedge of protection about this place. Thank you, Lord, for making it possible for us to have a sunrise service. Thank you, Lord, that you are alive. Thank you for health and strength, protection. I pray that you'll comfort all of those, for those tuning in today, for those that are visiting with us. Do a great work in the service today. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want you to notice the subjects that are involved in John 20, Mary Magdalene. Notice it was yet dark, early in the morning. Picture over 2,000 years ago as she got up early in the morning for the purpose of anointing the body. Notice that the Bible tells us that not only was she there, but Simon Peter and the Apostle John. Every time I read the gospel story, every time I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I come to the end of these gospels in my Bible reading ever so often as I'm reading. I'm always vividly reminded with the help of the Holy Spirit of what it must have been like to be there. I would have loved to spend time on planet Earth when Jesus walked and talked. Imagine being with him when he healed. Imagine being with him when he told parables. Imagine being with him when he spoke prophecy. Imagine being with him when he comforted those. Imagine being with him when he went over people's houses. Imagine being with him as he washed the feet of his disciple. Imagine being with him as he was betrayed by his very own, as he was led up Calvary's hill. Imagine being with him as he was there, crucified between two thieves. Imagine being with him as he was mocked, as he was beaten and bruised and belittled and brutalized. Imagine being with him as he gave up the ghost and bowed his head, stripped down off of a cross and placed in a borrowed tomb. Imagine being there. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't be there physically because the providence of God has allowed us and ordained us to be alive at this time. We sit here in 2022. We're not in Jerusalem. We're not there at the tomb. We're not vividly, physically witnessing the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will tell you what we have. We have in our hands the very record of the Word of God. Somebody say amen that you have a Bible today. And I don't know about you, when I open this book, I'm not reading some fairy tale. I'm not reading some story. I'm not watching some movie. All over the world during this time of the year, people will watch The Chosen. They'll watch The Passion of Christ. They'll cry. They'll weep. People will gather together. They'll talk about religion. They'll go through rituals. They'll go through traditions. And a few days later, they'll go right back to what they've been doing before. But aren't you glad when you know the Bible? Even though we celebrate Easter, maybe you bought a new suit or bought a new dress. Maybe you made dinner reservations. Maybe you're going out to eat. Maybe you're gathering together with family. Maybe you had a few days off. Maybe you're excited. Maybe you decorated some eggs. Maybe you bought some candy. Maybe you went out to the store. Maybe you're going to celebrate in a different way than you would any ordinary day. But aren't you glad that when Easter's over and candy goes back to the regular price, and when they're not decorating eggs and they move on to Mother's Day and they move past this holiday and people don't go to church until Christmas again, aren't you glad that when you know the Lord, you can get up tomorrow and celebrate a resurrected Savior? And next Sunday, you can celebrate a resurrected Savior, because he's not a day on the calendar. He's not a ritual. He's not a tradition. It's not a story. It's not a movie for a certain time of the year. It's not about spring break or fancy clothes, about some bunny or pictures at the mall or decorating your pet or some paper. It's not about a coloring book. It's not about fancy things. It's about a man who walked for 33 and a half years. That man had left the portals of glory. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Take the pages of scripture, invest in the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Go back to that cross. Go back to that spot. Go back to that city. Find out what he did. Find out why he came. Find out why he got up. Find out why he's not there. See what they saw. Today, I want to go with Mary Magdalene. I want to go with Peter. And I want to go with John. And I want to use these three characters in Scripture to ask all of us this question this morning. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? And bear with me if I get a little excited about this, because I see what they see. I'm not there. I have preachers every year that go to Jerusalem, preacher friends of mine that lead trips. They've been begging me for years to go. And I've thought about it and prayed about it and talked about it. And maybe one of these years I'm going to go. They say it changes the way you view scripture. It changes the way you preach. It changes the way you look at the word of God. But I'm telling you, if you've never been to Jerusalem on a plane, if you've never walked the streets there in Jerusalem on foot, I'm telling you for a few moments this morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, let's go to Jerusalem. Amen. Let's follow Mary. Maybe a few hours after this time, on the first Easter morning. Let's follow Peter, follow John, and let's see what they saw. I believe the first thing they saw was a moved closure. A moved closure. Are you looking in your scriptures? As you look in the passage of scripture, notice what the Bible says. When Mary came early to the sepulcher, notice what the Bible says. She sees the stone was rolled away. Anybody listening to me? I said she sees the stone was rolled away. Now, some of you may look at that and we think about the stone rolled away. And we say that all the time as Christians. But you must understand that the Bible tells us that Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. I don't have time to look at all these scriptures. Look at Matthew. Look at Mark. Jesus was buried in the tomb that was purchased by Joseph of Arimathea. And the scripture tells us in Mark that Joseph took Jesus and wrapped him and put him in that tomb. Another scripture tells us that Nicodemus helped him put him in that tomb. And the Bible tells us that Joseph pushed that stone in front of the tomb. That stone was a closure to block anybody from getting to the tomb. It was a closure to close off that sepulcher. Theologians tell us that perhaps that stone weighed somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 pounds. It at least took Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to slide that stone into place to block off that sepulcher. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. That stone was there, and Roman soldiers were guarding that stone and were guarding that tomb so no one could take the body of Jesus. When those women got there that morning, and when Peter and John got there that morning, for that stone to be rolled away with Roman soldiers to have guarded that tomb, something miraculous had to happen. Nobody could have pushed that stone away by himself. Nobody could have pushed that stone away with those Roman soldiers guarding it. What it must have been like to get there and find out the stone's not there anymore. Is anybody looking at that tomb this morning? Something was going on in that tomb that doesn't happen at ordinary tombs. Something was happening in that place that doesn't happen at ordinary places. When we get to the tomb this morning, the first thing I want you to notice is the moved closure. The second thing I want you to notice that was clear when they came to that sepulcher is the missing corpse. The missing corpse. Now, when the stone was rolled away, that somehow it had to be rolled away. If you look at other passages of scripture, they didn't have to wait long to find out, because the Bible tells them that the angel said the stone was rolled away by the angel of the Lord. But when they saw the stone rolled away, immediately they looked in the tomb. They had come to the tomb to anoint a body. But there's a problem. There wasn't a body there. I said, church, there wasn't a body there. There was a missing corpse. Now, when you bury somebody in a grave, somebody is supposed to be in the grave. When you put a stone in front of the tomb is supposed to be locked in so nobody can get anybody out of the grave. When they got there that morning, the stone was rolled away and nobody was in the grave. I want you to go to Jerusalem and find out there wasn't a stone there. I want you to go to Jerusalem and find out there wasn't a body there. Aren't you glad that the historians cannot shake the fact that there is nobody in the tomb? There wasn't anybody there the first Easter, the second Easter, the third Easter, the 2000th Easter, and there's still nobody there this Easter. Amen. Why was there nobody there? He said, I lay down my body and I will take it up again. I'll tell you why they didn't find him. He wasn't there. He had gotten up out of the grave. If you're struggling this morning, you're going through a trial, you're going through a difficulty, and you feel like you can't go on, you don't need a check in the mail. You don't need to win the sweepstakes. You don't need a good word from the doctor. You don't need somebody to shake your hand with money in it. You don't need everything in your life to go the way it goes. You need to travel back to Jerusalem and find out that man got beaten. That man got mocked. That man got ridiculed. That man had nails in his hands and nails in his feet. But when they got to that man's grave, unlike ordinary graves, listen to me, if you go to other graves, you'll find out there's a body there, and later you'll find bones there, and later you'll find ashes there. Listen to me, it had only been 3 days. You cannot all of a sudden decompose in 3 days. There's no way that all of a sudden that body was gone unless he had gotten out of there. Do you see what I see? Do you see the moved closure? Do you see the missing corpse? Number three, do you see the mysterious clothes? The Bible says, he seeth linen clothes lie. Now, wait a minute now. It was clear this man bodily was on the cross. It was clear this man in bodily form was taken off the cross. Listen to me. I'm talking to all the skeptics to say that Jesus rose, but he didn't rise with a body. That he's not coming back with a body. And so therefore, you and I are not going to rise with a body. Listen to me now. There was a body on a cross. There was a body pierced. There was a body beaten. There was a body with a crown of thorns on the head. There was a body stripped off. There was a body with a spear shoved in his side. There was a body that Joseph wrapped up. There was a body that Joseph put in the grave. There was a body that the stone was in front of. There was a body that the Roman soldiers were grabbing. But when they got up and they got to that grave that morning, there were clothes there that had been on a body. The clothes were there by themselves and the body wasn't there. Now that's a mystery. Somebody say amen. I want you to see those clothes. Not anybody's clothes. The clothes that my Jesus wore. I said the clothes that my Jesus wore. The clothes that the devil celebrated that he was wrapped up in, the clothes that all the demons in hell were rejoicing about that were wrapped around that man that was supposed to be the Messiah, the clothes that were on that man that those two unnamed disciples walking on the road to Emmaus said, we thought he had been alive, but nobody has found him. I want you to notice the mystery. Have you ever gone to a grave that a person was put in and you knew that the clothes were on the person when he went in the grave? And then went to the grave and found the clothes sitting there and the person. Listen, I'm trying to ask you. Not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but he rose up out the clothes. Are you listening to me now? He left out of the clothes. You know why? He didn't need those clothes anymore. Go to this pulpit. This other mic is going in and out. I don't want anybody to miss what I'm saying. He didn't need those clothes anymore. Hey, let me tell you something. Aren't you glad that when Jesus got up, he got up out of the grave. He left those clothes to say, listen to me. I don't need clothes. All I am is who I am. Amen. How can you imagine going to the grave? That's why folks don't understand Easter. That's why they're more concerned about their clothes than they are his clothes. I want to tell you something about Jesus. See, when you meet Jesus, you won't get caught up in clothes. See, on the very first Easter, Jesus wasn't worried about clothes. Listen to me. Some of you this morning are worried about your dress and worried about your suit. And some of you ladies are upset because you got to wear something that's not new. And maybe, fellas, you couldn't get the new suit that you wanted to get. Hey, let me tell you something. Don't worry about the clothes. He left the grave and left the clothes there. Now, I want you to see the moved closure. I want you to see the missing corpse. I want you to see the mysterious clothes. Now, I want you to see the meticulous cloth. The napkin. Verse number 7, the napkin that was about his head wasn't lying with the clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Are you reading your Bible? Come on now. Listen, I'm talking to everybody that looks at Lifetime and Hallmark and gets amazed. Everybody that reads Steven Spielberg and gets your jaw dropped. Every person that's watching the NBA playoffs and seeing how these athletes can score that many points. Everybody that's watching out there and amazed at cars and amazed at animals. Everybody that dropped your jaw for something this week. I'm trying to ask you, how in the world do you take a man who's killed, put him in a borrowed grave with a stone in front of it and soldiers in front of it? I could tell you other passages you could find out that the Roman soldiers were lying down as dead men. That's not even here, but that's extra because we're running out of time. They were lying down like dead men. I could tell you about the two soldiers, the angels that are sitting up there. How about the angel that's sitting on the rock that's speaking to them? Have you ever had an experience like this? This really happened, folks. I'm not making up a story. This is not a Disney movie. This really happened. And because it happened, you and I have hope. Amen. I'm telling you, there was no stone there. It was rolled away. The angel rolled it away. I'm telling you, there was no body there. He got up and walked out of the grave. And by the way, the stone wasn't rolled away so he could get out. He walked through the stone. The stone was rolled away so they could see he was gone. Amen. And then I want you to notice there were some mysterious clothes. He rose up out of the clothes. How in the world are you
take a man that was wounded, his visage was so marred, you couldn't even tell he was a human being, and yet with power, I'm saying with power, you got to have power to walk out your clothes. You got to have power to walk through a stone. You got to have power after getting beaten so bad to live again. That's my Jesus. I said, that's my Jesus. He got up out of the grave. And then the meticulous cloth. Now, theologians debate about this, and I don't want to be extra biblical. I can't prove it to be so, but it's something. Listen, just the fact that Jesus had a napkin wrapped around his head and clothes that he was wearing, and the clothes were in one place, and now the napkin is in another place, and the napkin is neatly, the Greek tells us that it is folded and bent in a perfect way. Now, if Jesus only walked out the clothes, took the napkin off, and folded it just separately, that's a miracle in of itself. You tell me a dead man that can wake up, walk out his clothes, take a napkin off his head, set it aside neatly all over by itself. That in itself is a miracle. But they tell us in history there was also a Jewish custom that happened at dinner time. When the servant would prepare a meal for his master, the servant would prepare the place setting and set the napkin in a very meticulous way. When it came time for the meal to be over, the napkin would be then placed down, and all of a sudden it would be laid over the plate. However, if the master would take the napkin and neatly fold it, it was an indication to the servant, don't touch my plate, I'm not finished eating, I may have left the table, but I'm coming back for my food. So when the napkin was folded, the master was saying, I'm not done. What they must have saw when they looked in that tomb that morning to find out he doesn't have the clothes. The stone is rolled away. The body is not here. He's gone. The napkin was on his head. It's set aside. But before he left the tomb, he chose to fold that napkin as if to say, as the master to all his servants, I may be done in here, but I'm not done. Aren't you glad he's not done saving sinners? He's not done sanctifying saints, and he ain't done with that old lion Satan. Aren't you glad that that Jesus that left that tomb, that Jesus that appeared to the brethren, that Jesus that was on that earth for 40 more days, that Jesus that ascended into heaven, that Jesus that's making intercession for you and for me, that Jesus left a napkin that's folded as if to say to every man, woman, boy, or girl, don't touch my plate. I'm coming back. I'm coming back one day. I want you to see the moved closure. I want you to see the missing corpse. I want you to see the mysterious clothes. I want you to see but the meticulous cloth. And I want you to see the meaningful conviction. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 8, John went in, that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher. Notice what the Bible says. And he saw and believed. Listen to me. That's the meaningful conviction that, my friend, is a mindful conclusion. What did John have any other reason to do but believe? Why wouldn't he believe? He'd walked with that Savior. He'd talked with that Savior. He'd been around that Savior. He'd been in the presence of that Savior. He stood by the cross of that Savior. He'd heard that parable say, that Jesus say that I must be crucified. He heard that Jesus say, I lay down my life and I take it up again. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, I have trouble believing in Jesus. Maybe you're watching and you have trouble believing in Jesus. Maybe you're of another religion. You're not here today. You look at this later and you say, I have trouble believing in Jesus. I would say to you, if you have trouble believing in Jesus, maybe you need to go back to Jerusalem and look at the scene again. If you see that move closure, maybe you won't have so much trouble. If you see there's a missing corpse, maybe you won't have that much trouble. If you see mysterious clothes with a body that's walked out of it, maybe you won't have that much trouble. If you see that meticulous cloth there, maybe you won't have that much trouble. And if you see all those things, maybe it will bring you to a meaningful conclusion that has some major conviction to it. Maybe you will believe. Because my friend, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Church, let's not get caught up in clothes and eggs and days off and holidays and springtime and the rest of the world. Listen to me. They're shopping and they're moving around and they're eating. There are people that will go to church that never go to church. There are people that will be out eating that are celebrating Easter. There are people that go through religion that did all things this kind of weekend. There are people that watch movies that will never watch them again. They don't understand, but you and I must understand, because Mary Magdalene, John, and Peter, and I hope the rest of us saw something that day that gave them no choice but to believe. I'd like the world to know, I believe, I believe, I believe. My question on this sunrise service this morning is quite simple. Do you see what I see? Our Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for Jesus. And I pray, God, you'd help us to see what they saw. Thank you, Jesus, for getting up out the grave. You're alive. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many say, Pastor, I see it, I see it, I see it. I've accepted Christ. Put your hand up all over the building. I see it, I see it, I see it. Put your hand down. Now take the other hand, if you mean it, and you say, Pastor, I see it, but I needed to be reminded of it this morning. I needed to be reminded of it this morning. Put your hand up. I needed to be reminded of that moved closure, that missing corpse, those mysterious clothes, that meticulous cloth, that meaningful conviction and conclusion. I needed to be reminded of what happened one time on that cross and at that tomb, but that what happened one time has changed my life forever. Put your hand up, would you? And then lastly, I may say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Then Christian, come on, pray where you are. Why don't you get like John today? Stoop down and look in. Isn't that the problem? We're too busy. We're too busy to look at the scene. Don't overlook it. Watch this now. Look at what he said at the Last Supper. This do in remembrance of me till I come. Say amen if you're glad he's coming again. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for being so gracious to us. Help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name and for his sake.